Hey everyone, quick update on how you can help and support the show. I now have a $1 tier over on Patreon, patreon.com/DarrenHupke. For $1, you'll actually get new episodes a week early, and you'll be able to submit your own questions to be asked as icebreaker questions in future episodes. I'll give users a shout out whose questions I select, and for just $1 a month, that help goes a long way for me in web costs and supporting the show. So thanks for checking that out and considering it, and enjoy the episode. My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons, part of the Soundstone Network. Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode. It's a new week, a new Friday, or whatever day you end up listening to this. But thanks for checking it out. Thanks for coming back. A new guest alert. We have a brand new guest on the show this week. We have Maddie, or you may know her online as Oh That's Raspberry on Blue Sky and other social medias. Great conversation and great introduction. I met her at Long Island Retro Gaming Expo earlier this year. And just decided to reach out and see if we can chat. I found out she does a bunch of great like comics on like Metal Gear, but also has done some about like Silent Hill and Resident Evil, and shares really fun, just kind of humorous like comics and drawings and strips and stuff from her time playing these games. And I'm a huge Metal Gear fan, so seeing all of that was just right up my alley, being a comics nerd and a gaming nerd. So yes, happy to have her on the show, and looking forward to inviting her back on future episodes for sure too. So enjoy the episode after the break and our conversation. It's the evergreen topic. What is an average game or below average game you love that doesn't get enough attention? So we have a cool dialogue there. Beyond that, it is what's happening here. So the Kickstarter for the Retro Game Zine annual and the last two issues is done. So if you were able to help support that, awesome. If not, I'll have copies on my website once they do go to print in November and December, and the annual around December as well too. That'll collect all 12 issues altogether. Beat 'em Up is still live and cooking. You can still buy copies of that on pixelsandpolygons.net. Digital copies over on the Patreon, patreon.com/DarrenHupke in the shop there. Retro Game Zine, the Umjammer Lammy issue is what is out now. Right? No. Oh man, I got my whole issues mixed up. Oh, we're on the Mario Tennis month. Sorry, Umjammer Lammy's next month. Mario Tennis is this month's issue. Yes, you can get copies of that over on pixelsandpolygons.net. Digital copies, same place, same websites for all that stuff. Yeah, but look forward to the Umjammer Lammy issue next month, as that will be the October issue. Otherwise, I'm putting final writing adjustments and writing passes and getting contributor essays and everything to finalize the next 32-bit library book, 32-bit library Greatest Hits 1. So it will have 50 games that were in the Greatest Hits catalog from Sony. Various publishers of different genres. Just a cool way to do another 32-bit library book, but without a set themed publisher, and instead a way to cover some books that wouldn't get covered typically, just because of their publisher being big or small, or not quality enough to focus an entire book on. So yeah, things like Tony Hawk and Doom and Vigilante 8, Fighting Force, Tomb Raider, bunch of stuff inside of it. So look forward to that. That will be coming to Kickstarter as well. There should be like a landing page for that to be notified soon-ish. And yeah. Otherwise, that is all I've got for you. Please like, comment, subscribe. Whatever you can. If you're watching this on YouTube, yeah, like, comment, subscribe. If you're listening to it on your favorite podcast platform, leave a review and share it with a friend. If you are on social media platforms, you know, share the episodes or help spread the word about my websites if you think people might like the writing and the stuff that I'm doing. But otherwise, yep, that's all I got. So enjoy the ad from a great show, a great Soundstone Network show, and then the main episode afterwards. And we'll catch you all again here in 7 more days for another new episode of Pixels and Polygons. Bye.
Hello, we are Kirby Conversations, a podcast on Kirby, along with other adjacent subjects like Smash Brothers, HAL Laboratory, and other related Nintendo games.
In each episode, we take an in-depth, well-researched look at a Kirby topic, drawing on our decades of experience playing Kirby games, creating Kirby-related content, and working in and around the video game industry. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm a theater and video game journalist.
And my name's Bridget. I'm an online Kirby commentator and collector.
Our team also includes photographer and Nintendo ambassador Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker, and Gigi, the editor-in-chief of Wick Kirby. Join us for deep dives into Kirby's history, interviews with industry professionals, and even inside looks at Nintendo, as together we explore all things Kirby and HAL Laboratory. You can find Kirby Conversations on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast about video games. I'm Darren Hupke. This week, we have a brand new guest on the show. So 2025 has been an awesome year to meet some new folks and get some new voices on the show. So I'm excited to have a new guest, Maddie, joining the show. How are you doing, Maddie?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. For those, well, I guess... I was first introduced to you just a couple weeks back at Long Island Retro Gaming Expo. You were walking around, you were hanging out with Diamond from the Retronauts crew, and he popped by, you know, my table where I was selling my junk, and introduced you. I got one of those cool snake monkey pins from you, actually, and it was just super awesome. And checked out your work, and you know, now you have two collections of zine of your comics and all stuff you're kind of putting together. But do you want to maybe catch listeners up who maybe don't know you, like who you are, what you do, and you know, what you're kind of promoting currently?
Yeah, so my online handle is Oh That's Raspberry, which is a Simpsons reference. Most people know me. I do comics about Metal Gear. I did the whole Metal Gear series. I've done some about Resident Evil, Silent Hill. Basically, whenever I play through a game, I'll usually draw some kind of silly comics about my experiences through it. So yeah, those I just post those on social media. I have a website that has them all. And then I'm also I do community stuff and social media stuff for Grasshopper Manufacture as well.
Yeah, that's rad. How long you've been there with Grasshopper?
I've been with them for about 3 years now.
Well, I will have links to like your site and social media handles and all that stuff in the show notes for anybody who wants to check that out. Do check out the comics. Like, they're hilarious and like just a fun like style to them all as well. So like I highly encourage y'all to kind of take a look at it. And then this episode will be out. What's that date? Oh, no. Should have been prepped. Oh, the 19th. So if you're listening to this, it's Friday, September 19th or later. Will your shop still be open to pre-order, or are we wasting plugging time for that?
There should be some after sales once the pre-orders go out. I will be at Portland Retro, though, so if you see me there, I might have a few things with me too.
All right. Well, yeah, again, thanks for being willing to jump on the show and answer some silly questions. So thanks again.
Yeah, of course.
Do you want to get right into it then? We'll start some things off with some this or that questions, and then our icebreaker before the main topic.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we'll ease into it, and we'll see if we can kind of fill you out. PlayStation or Nintendo 64?
PlayStation.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I supposed to explain after or just...
No, you absolutely can.
No, I had both. So I had... My parents were divorced and I had Nintendo at one house and PlayStation at the other. So I got to experience both as a kid, but the PlayStation library, I had way more PlayStation games.
Yeah.
And like 64, like Paper Mario is very important to me, but PlayStation, like the whole Spyro series, Crash Bandicoot, Final Fantasy, and then I've gone back to the PlayStation more as well to play things like Silent Hill and et cetera.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. I am, you know, biasly like a big PlayStation nerd, but you can't go wrong with Nintendo. Like their quantity over, or their quality over quantity, you know, like it's a good balance. You know, you can get a lot of like great middle of the road things and, you know, slightly above average things, you know, on the PlayStation, like a ton of those types of things. But you get like really just cool 10 out of 10s on the 64 or on Nintendo platforms typically, but you might be waiting a long time in between those releases. But, you know, if you can have both in balance, that's a great way to get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Let's see, Mario or Luigi. Let's go there.
Luigi.
Okay. Any particular reason for that?
I guess he's just slightly more interesting. Mario's the very balanced character.
Mm-hmm.
Though, if I'm playing Super Mario Brothers 2, I would pick Mario because Luigi's jump always threw me off.
Yeah, a little too wild. I loved. I'm a big Luigi fan. Personally, when the Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga came out on Game Boy Advance, like the character art for that game, like Luigi's mm-hmm. pants didn't quite make it to his like shoes or his boots. And like he had these like red and white like striped socks on. And like whoever like designed that or like thought that up, like I just thought it was neat that he had like just these like, you know, odd like fashion choices like within like, you know, his character and everything, you know, I don't know. He's always been just kind of like the different one to me, and that always made him like stand out to me. But like from that point forward, I was like, all right, Luigi's he's just cool. He's maybe not completely understood, but he's just cool.
Yeah, he's a little goofier. I do think the RPGs fleshed him out quite a bit. And like in the Paper Mario series too, it's like he's not... I think it's in the second one where he's like going on his own adventures and you just like see him after every chapter and he's like, this is what I was up to. And it's like, oh, yeah, I don't remember the princess. It's like Princess Maple and blah, blah, blah. He just tells you this whole story that he's been on this other adventure.
Yeah, they're good games. Do a couple more. A warrior or mage?
Oh, that's... I feel like I probably go mage. I think I just generally like distant attacks.
Okay. Short and sweet or epic length?
Short and sweet. I struggle with the amount of 100 plus hour games that come out every year.
Yeah, I'm in a stuck phase because Death Stranding 2, like I'm a big Kojima and Metal Gear fan, but I don't want to like start new games up and like half finish things and everything. So I've been really good about seeing through whatever I'm currently playing before I start that next thing. But I think I've just passed like 60 something hours on Death Stranding 2. And I don't know that I'm that close. I think the dashboard says I'm like 72% done with the game. So like I still have a chunk to go. But I have a few games I really want to get to and play and everything, but they're just kind of sitting there and collecting dust and, or, you know, not purchased yet, which might help me in the long run because maybe they'll go on sale or something by then. But, there's a lot of other things I want to get out and try, but, that long epic length of games sometimes can, derail my playing habits and everything that I have as I get older.
Yeah, no, I love like playing one really long game every year, but then everything else I want to be like between 10 to 20 hours is like my perfect length for games.
Yeah, that's good. Online or offline?
Offline.
Okay. And then last one, we'll say pixels or polygons.
Oh, I think Pixels.
Okay.
Yeah, just Super Nintendo is maybe still my favorite console ever.
Yeah, that that 16-bit style, like even when done on like newer hardware, you know, like the Square HD 2D stuff, like that's my perfect and ideal thing to mix them both. But I love that base of like a pixel art, like beginning and everything. So I'm with you there. Okay, well, thanks for going through that gauntlet with me. Let's do a little icebreaker here and let's see if we can get you thinking. Let's see. What is your favorite mini game or game within a game?
Oh, interesting.
And I say favorite. It doesn't have to literally be like the number one thing, but what is one that stands out in your memory that you enjoyed and had a lot of fun with? That was like a mini game or a game within a game?
What can I think of? I'm trying to think of something with so it's going to be a recent example because that's all I can think of right now. But Queen's Blood in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and that was really surprising to me because whatever they had in the Final Fantasy VII remake, I did not like. And I'm not big on card games usually, and especially if it's like a side thing, I don't really want to deal with it. But the way they designed Queen's Blood, where it's very short, it's a very simple concept to understand, I love playing those side missions.
Yeah, that was really rad. And I did not anticipate how like involved and like epic the story behind it was going to be. Like, I just thought it was going to be an excuse to play with some casual people and do the mini game, but there was like the whole like cutscenes and like the like mysterious and otherworldly like things happening behind the scenes that you got more and more of as you played through it, which was like not something I was expecting or even like needed to enjoy it, but it just made it that much better for me. That was a super good time.
So that's interesting to hear, because so that's one of the very long games that I'm still in the middle of. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it develops even further.
Oh, okay, yeah. So didn't mean to spoil anything there. I mean, like, you know.
No, that's not. Yeah. That's very. You did very generic. So I don't feel spoiled. But no,
yeah.
I'm
keep
actually
going with it. Keep going with it. It is ridiculous and cool, and yeah, it is fun.
Yeah, and then the other thing I think of is the skateboarding in Spyro. I think in the second and third ones, they both had skateboarding mini games. Like, a little in the second and then even more developed in the third. And those were just, I mean, those are just like full-on developed skateboarding mini games within Spyro. Oh, of course, Ape Escape in Metal Gear Solid 3. That's another one.
Yeah. Snake versus Monkey.
Ape Escape. Yeah. Ape Escape was one of my favorite PlayStation games. So when I got into Metal Gear and saw there was a crossover, that was just the perfect thing for me. And then also in Ape Escape 3, there's a Metal Gear mini game.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you're playing like a little ape version of Solid Snake, and it's like really in depth. Like, it takes a few hours to get through. And there's like an ape version of Ocelot, and he like has kidnapped Naked Snake for some. It's really weird because it's like it seems like they don't understand the difference between Solid and Naked Snake, and so there's kind of like this strange like intermingling of them, similar to like Smash Brothers or something, where it's kind of like, well, he's both of them. But yeah, that's great, and I'm just like, I'm so happy they brought that collaboration back for Delta.
Yeah, that is cool. I loved Ape Escape. I mean, I remember playing a demo of that game and just being blown away. And like, you know, that to me, like, that was obviously like a really good introduction to like the dual analog like controllers and everything and getting used to like that type of gameplay. But I never played any of like the sequels or follow ups and everything. So I probably, you know, should rectify that someday soon.
Yeah, I only did that recently, like within the past year or two, because I had the original and that was all I ever played. And then I played through 2 and 3, which were both on the PlayStation 2. And they're really good. Two is more of a direct sequel. Three, they did some kind of crazy stuff where you have like these transformation powers and stuff, but it's such a good series. And I'm hoping, I don't know, there seems to be kind of this resurgence of like, they're putting out like Peepo Monkey merchandise and obviously having Snake vs. Monkey come back. And like, I don't necessarily need new Ape Escape, but I just like a big like collection of all the games would be so great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, there's so much like Sony has that, like, yeah, I don't expect them to like just do sequels and new things for everything, but still, if there was some way like legacy fans can like still experience a lot of like the classic things, even if it's like minor revisions or like compilations or something like that, it would be great.
I think Astrobot kind of reinvigorated a lot of love for those Sony properties.
Yeah, there was some like contention there where it was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, Sony's highlighting all these things, but you know, they don't let anybody have access to them or play them, and they were like, you know, there was frustration behind that. I wasn't really frustrated. I mean, it was nostalgia, and like it made me like remember like really good times and memories of those games. Like yes, yeah. I would like to see them again, but I wasn't like angry with Sony for like showing me Ape Escape, but then dangling over me like, yep, you have no way to buy it or play it. I just, you know, I'd like for them to get around to that and see that, you know. So yeah, hopefully something new in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool. Hopefully that got your synapses firing and everything. But I sent you a couple questions, and you picked out a few that you'd like to answer. So for this episode, this is essentially my favorite question. This is an evergreen question that like a lot of my guests have answered, and I wouldn't mind if this podcast one day evolves to just be this one question. But what is an average game, or even a below average game, that you love that doesn't get enough attention? So, yeah, this is our chance just to, you know, talk about and remember a game that, you know, potentially is even forgotten to time, but shouldn't be, and why we love it. So what is that, or what is one of those games for you?
My pick for this is the PS2 RPG Okage Shadow King.
All right. Yes, this is a good one. Okay, so tell us about it. Tell us your experience with it. You know, when did you first play it? What do you love about it? You know, let's just gush about Okage.
Yeah, so this is a really early PS2 game. It was 2001, and I guess we picked it out. Like, I had it when I was a kid, and I would have been 10 when this game came out. And it was just, the art style, I think, is the main thing that really stands out immediately. It kind of has the kind of like creepy cute look to it. It's kind of, I don't know, some people might compare it to something like Tim Burton or something. But it's that kind of creepy with these really bright colors, these really fun character designs. And I remember playing as a kid. It's one of the really strange things about this game is the Japanese title is Bokuto Mao, which is me and the Demon King. Mm. And for some reason, they gave it a different Japanese title for English, Okage, which means like great shadow. But I don't know the reasoning for that, and they don't explain it. I remember as a kid, we didn't know how to pronounce it. We're like, is it like Oakage? Is it? So being, you know, a 10-year-old with my sisters, we would call it cheese just because, you know, very goofy little children who don't know how to pronounce something, so they default to cheese. And yeah, but it's there's just something very unique about it. The art director has not worked on very many other games. I don't think he's worked on anything since, and the few games before was like a sports game and a couple arcade games, so nothing else looks like this. The soundtrack is really unique. The title screen has bagpipe music, and it's the writing, I think, is something that really stands out, and something that obviously can't be communicated well unless you actually play the game. It is really funny. it is clever. Oh, let me go over the basic premise. The basic premise is you're this kid and your father brings back this weird vase that he finds. And there's this like demon in the vase who curses your sister to speak in pig Latin and gives her a pink shadow. And in order to help out your sister, you have to agree with this demon in this vase that he's like, I'm the real demon king, and there's all these fake demon kings in the world, and we have to go destroy them all so I can prove that I'm the real one. And so he inhabits your shadow, and you're basically forced to go on this journey and find all these fake demon kings and destroy them on his behalf.
Yeah. It was a cool like turn-based like RPG and everything as well. Like, so I mean, it felt familiar if people did like, you know, played on the PlayStation, like any like classic RPGs and everything. But the like you talked about it, like I remember like specifically picking it up just because of like the box art and like the style and charm of it. Like it was just something that was neat about it. I think just even like the design of the shadow, Stan was his name, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like I think it's a joke on like Satan.
Yeah,
it's just like you take out one letter and it's Stan.
Yeah, it was great. Did you I never actually finished it as a kid. I it was a rental for me, so like I spent hours with it over a weekend and always wanted to like pick it up again, but I never returned to it or anything. So I probably only, you know, got to maybe like 8-10 hours of gameplay or so, like over as like play as much as I could on a weekend over school. But it was cool.
I didn't finish it as a kid, but I went back when I was a little older and finally finished it. It's not super long. I think it's maybe a little over 20 hours.
Hmm.
It does, and it has a pretty basic RPG system, which is good in some ways and bad in others. It's probably why it has like a middling score. I think it's like a 70 or something on Metacritic. But everything else carries it so well. The story ends up being really deep and quite sweet, and kind of goes in a way you don't expect. Again, like the humor is exceptional. It's such a funny game. There's this battle mechanic where just like randomly Stan, if you go into a battle, Stan will like stop you. And he'll like ask you to like make a 3-word phrase about how great he is. And if you like succeed, he'll do like this big attack at the beginning of the battle.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't have direct control over him, right? It was like almost like Persona 3. Like you controlled just the main character, and
yeah.
he would occasionally like pop in to do things depending on like the situation.
Right, yeah, so he's not a major battle character, but every once in a while he'll do like a special like that to help you out. But the battle system is, yeah, it's pretty standard RPG. There's kind of this little combo system, there's some elemental stuff, but it's not super complex. There's also, it does have one of the absolute worst collectibles in any game I've ever experienced. There are, I don't know if there's like 100 of them or 80 of them. There's these things called tiny gears, and they are small, invisible collectibles that are scattered over the world. There is no map. There is no detector. They are just something you're supposed to find by running over every square inch of the map.
Oh boy. I don't remember that at all. Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's just like, you'll find one every once in a while and you're like, what is this? Like, why do I found a tiny gear? Okay. And I'm pretty sure they unlock a high powered weapon if you get them all, but it's just like one of the worst ideas for a collectible ever.
That's funny. Yeah, I remember my exposure to it, like I said, it was a rental, but the what I actually ended up going to, it was a Hollywood Video here in North America, and I went and I actually picked up Ephemeral Fantasia. It was a PS2 RPG from Konami, and it was all right, if I'm being like nice to it, but I remember playing it for like not even an hour and being just completely like, no, like, this is not what I want to play. Like, I was still trying to find that like PS2 RPG equivalent of everything that I loved on the original PlayStation. And that was like, it had like a musical kind of like a mini game to it. It was almost like a Guitar Hero ish or Beat Mania ish, like mechanic, everything built into it. And it just was, it was bad enough that like, I, you know, spending my money to rent it, I was like, I can't do that. So I had my mom take me back up to Hollywood Video and I made some excuse up about it, like not playing well, like, you know, like, if they tested it to try and confirm, I was just saying it was intermittently like skipping and like glitching out on me and everything. And so they let me return it and exchange it and get something different. And that's when I got Okage. I was like, that was like two things in my hand. I was like, kind of deciding between, and I went with the wrong choice first. But yeah, going back, like I'm glad I did go back and get to play it. And what's funny enough, we just got through talking about, you know, Sony and Ape Escape and like their properties and everything. This was published by Sony as well, so I don't know if they own the property to it or not, or if they just decided to
I mean, it's on, so you can still, you can get it. It's on like the PS4, PS5 store, which is quite surprising. It is just, you know, use it, you play it through their PS2 emulator, so there are a few like graphical issues, but it's like 95% fine. But yeah, it is such a weird kind of anomaly. Like, I don't know why it was made. Again, like a lot of the team on it didn't do much after or much before. Like both the director and the art director have really small, like repertoires. So it is just kind of an anomaly. It did, one of my like most prized possessions is they released a series of 6 action figures from it for some reason in Japan. And so I have those. There's also a really small but powerful community in Japan who love the game. And every year they celebrate it and put out a bunch of like fan merchandise. So I always like order some stuff from the little Japanese, like kind of like an online convention that they do for it.
That's cool. I love fandoms of odd things like this, keeping them alive and keeping them exciting for people to either still discover it later or have a reason to kind of continue to look back on it and remember it.
And it's a bummer. Like, the one thing I wish is, I wish there was an art book available of it, because I do think it has some of the most beautiful, interesting artwork. And, you know, there's like a Japanese strategy guide. There's an English strategy guide, which has some of the like concept art and illustrations in it. But they never put out any kind of art book. They did put out the soundtrack, which is cool. So I have that. But yeah, it's just, it's so special. It's so unique. I feel like there's never been anything quite like it before or since.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing it to the show. That's the kind of game we like to talk about when we answer that question. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, we did the thing. We answered the question. That's how pixels and polygons work. So, yeah, thank you so much for popping on. Anything you want to plug before we wrap this episode, Maddie?
Nope, nothing particular coming up. But yeah, if you like silly comics about video games, check out my social media. Again, it's Oh, That's Raspberry. I'm always just doing little doodles about whatever I'm playing at the time. So I think it's pretty fun.
Great. Well, thank you again for popping on the show. I guess if you have a modern console, you can still play Okage. So maybe check it out on the PlayStation Store. Usually those things are, the classics are usually only like $10 or so. So it's never too bad of a purchase.
Yeah. It's $10, or I think it's included with one of the higher tier PlayStation Plus plans.
Yeah, some of us suckers do that, which I do. So definitely accessible to me again. Maybe I can finish it and you know, get through it. That's a good memory, though. Definitely enjoy that game. But yeah, thanks a lot, Maddie. Thank you all for listening to the show. Catch us again next week. And yeah, have a good one.
Thank you.
Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary cultural and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.